Romans 8:17. We are heirs of God. And joint heirs with Jesus. This is Heir Church.
With Pastor Dave Thomas of the Heir Church, 159 Clark Road, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us at our new Northside campus every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Our website is theheirchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Dave Thomas.
Turn over to Luke chapter 15, if you would. You know, in these things I was sharing, did I do everything with the offering? I did all that? Okay, I think I did. In understanding, because it's spiritual, your inheritance is spiritual. What you're doing, you're placing a demand in one world and bringing it into another. Because you're in the world where authority is, that's where you were born at. Amen. Your flesh didn't get saved. You're born again spiritually. So you place a demand, and that's why they hadn't figured Jesus out yet. Jesus died a poor man. In the natural, Jesus died a poor man. He was poor. The word said he died, he was poor that he could be, so that you could be made rich. He died in poverty. What they call in that day poverty. He died a poor man. But he was paying the price for poverty with his life. But what occurred was the riches, what brings riches into this dimension is spiritual. Spiritual things have dominion over the natural. This is one of the reasons why the devil has to get you to enforce your own sickness, your own disease, your own poverty, your own strife. He has to get you to do it. Amen. Because it's not a part of who you are. When you become born again, it's not a part of who you are. You've been born out of the dimension of those things that are of your fallen nature. And so what the devil had to get you to do is reinforce your fallen nature, even though that's not you anymore. What? Reinforce my fallen nature? Yeah, you were a sinner. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Poverty and sickness and disease were your inheritance then, because we were of our father, the devil. But then you got born again. You're not that person anymore. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Well, what is this all about? What are we doing? Well, you're getting the new you to line up with the reality, the real you. You're getting the new you to line up. See, all the information about who you really are is in the Word of God. The world won't teach. The world cannot teach you who you are. It can just reinforce who you used to be. It cannot prepare you or teach you who you are. It can only get you to reinforce who you used to be. That will hold you in sickness, hold you in poverty, hold you in bitterness, hold you in lack, hold you in anger. Amen. Well, just get mad about that. I know it. That's who you used to be. Get mad. Amen. The Bible says the words of a poor man are not heard. Nobody care what you say. You're in poverty. As a person, you're not saved. Nobody care what you say. You don't control nothing permanently. Amen. But you a woman of God, a man of God. Hallelujah. Now you know some new words to say. You're declaring some new words. But let me go on. Are you in chapter 15? Here's some. I want to mention this. I have this heart for young men in prison. And I said, with all these men in prison, and it's all over the news. Y'all see with the guy, George Floyd and police brutality and the Black Lives Matter and, you know, all of the protests along with all of the people of different races that were protesting the inhumane, abusive treatment of African Americans, males, by the criminal justice system. And y'all heard me talk about it before, whether it's in who they arrest or who they shoot, or how much time they give to who. All the statistics have shown who does what to who, when, why, and how. Oh, it's there. It's not debatable. And that doesn't mean that every person commit a crime is a good person. No, it doesn't mean that. But disproportionately, the criminal justice system has leaned on the lives of young African-American males over a period of time. Yeah. As a matter of fact, one of the things that took place back in the presidency of Richard Nixon, Reagan, the president of Reagan, the proposal was to make crime a big issue. And that issue, to make crime the big issue, was designed to get the European Americans in the South to switch from being Democrats to be Republicans. It was a political strategy. And it was based on the fact or the lie that the bulk of the crime being committed was committed by black people, which was a lie. But it was sold to the Southern Democrats called the Southern Strategy. And so naturally, if you were not African American, you were Southern Democrats, then you don't want crime in your neighborhood. You don't want like was said about the Mexicans, you don't want the black men to rape your women and steal your children and kill you and all of that. So the black man became the public enemy number one in order to get the Southern Democrats, the European American Democrats, to switch from being Democrats to be Republicans. That's all politics. Be that as it may, and of course the guy won the presidency who was Ronald Reagan, amen, the actor Ronald Reagan, he funded the law and order and the war on drugs. War on drugs turned out not to be the war on drugs, turned out to be a war on black men, amen, because there were no raids taking place anywhere but in black neighborhoods. So these are, you can research this, and this is what was happening. And see, you got to know yourself and know your own image and know what's happening and why it was happening. And so, of course, then you had the three strikes out, so the prisons were became filled disproportionately with African-American male. Now, it doesn't take you long, if you're looking at me, to realize I'm an African-American male. I'm an older one, but I've been one all my life. And so here, it doesn't mean I got anything against Hispanics or European-Americans, but I can read and write, and you know, I have good understanding. Matter of fact, I have the Word of God, amen. I have better than normal understanding. I have spiritual insight. And so because of racism and other things, our young African Americans, as one writer describes them, as low hanging fruit. The young African American males are the low hanging fruit. Now, I've never done any time, never been to jail, but that doesn't mean I'm not concerned about young men who do time. I think all of them are not locked up on violent crime, whether they be African American, European American, Hispanic American. There are some people in jail who've done violent crimes, and you know, society needs protections from violent people. But then there are multitudes who have done no violent crime. Some have done been given 99 years for 2 grams of marijuana, 5 grams of cocaine. You've been given 150 years. Disproportionate sentencing. So, and of course, I talked about the sentencing. So, see, as a man or woman of God, when you pray, you're able to pray to affect society. You're able to vote and affect society. But I wanted to look here. And now, because the Bible addresses everything. The Bible addresses it. There are some things that won't bother you until it happens to your son or your daughter or you. But as a man or woman of God, you know, it's up to us to have a heart for the world. We don't want anybody's child locked up, black, white, Hispanic, and whatever. No mother wants her son in jail. No mother. No father wants his son in jail. Amen. No father. He wants his son to have freedom, especially in America. But the Bible, and I say, okay, Lord, show me. But it had to do with this over in chapter 15 in Mark. Are you there already? I mean, Luke chapter 15. Go there. It says, and I'm going to begin. It says in chapter number 15, verse 11, it says, a certain man had 2 sons. Is that the way your Bible reads? And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. Okay, now, I want you to look up a minute. I want you to look at one. See, God has provided a protection and guidance for all men and all women. Okay, but you can be out of bounds. You can be out of bounds. And people want to know the part that they can play. How can I help cause this not to be such a problem? You know, you 18, they just gave you 28 years. You're going to be in prison 28 years? That's a lifetime. All right, and that shouldn't be. But so what can you give to parents or families to give them an insight into this situation where they'll know how to pray and how to govern, you know, their lives, or maybe the young men and women or whoever that are in their center of influence that they can help? Well, the Word of God says this. It said these two boys, a certain man had two sons. And it's referring to boys. Now, here, you know, in the Bible, the sons, they're the ones that inherit all the stuff. You look at the Jewish law, amen, and so they deal with the sons. How you with the males, because the male's going to be the head of the family. And right now, a lot of the guys that some good, godly Christian woman would marry, he in prison now. You're Mr. Right locked up. And when you met him, he was on track, and then, he locked up. All right, so I believe a lot of resource, a lot of potential is in the lives of many of these young men that are locked up, especially the African-American men, and it's true with the European-American guys that are locked up too, amen? But here, the problem in America, I'm speaking from a United States of America standpoint, this writer describes these black men as low-hanging fruit. And I'm thinking about doing like a book on the low-hanging fruit. What does low-hanging fruit mean? That means it's easy to get to you. You convenient. And so what you have to look at in America, you hear them say, follow the money. See, right now we're dealing with, you know, our president and people around him, and we're trying to follow the money. And God said he was going to give us his taxes 5 years ago, amen, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. Nobody's seen them yet. Amen. So here, but that's money. That's only money. That's only money. But if you remember, Al Capone was locked up for his taxes. One of the most notorious gangsters in American history. A killer and a gangster. He was locked up because of his taxes. He died in prison. Amen. That was how they got him. They couldn't get him any other way. He was insulated by people who wouldn't talk and wouldn't tell the lives of people he had killed. He didn't kill them, he had them killed. And so they got him, they imprisoned him based on his taxes. So the IRS is a key area. But how can it be in America, you can be insulated and the IRS themselves can't get your taxes? Oh, yeah. So, but here, you follow the money. So we're talking about a different subject altogether. And here again, I believe my perspective is different because I'm different and I'm a father and all of this, a citizen. But I'm talking about these young boys now, and the Bible is addressing these young men. And so, in any case, with the money, as you're following the income in America, there's a funding, like with the police department, because when I say they're the low-hanging fruit, they're the low-hanging fruit to the police, to the criminal justice system. Because we got privatized prisons where people are making a lot of money running prisons, and there are people investing stock in these prisons. They're making a return because these prisons are on the New York Stock Exchange, etc. And so the low-hanging fruit, you got to keep some people in these prisons for you to make money. So the prisons become the product. You know, just like a slave is the product to making cotton. You can't pick no cotton without a slave to pick it back in that time. So you had to be sure you had a supply of cotton pickers to sell cotton. You're going to run a plantation, you're going to need you some cotton pickers to pick the cotton, to get it to the market, to sell it. And cotton was king. I said cotton was king. Now, this is economics. And the studies show that the area that people tend to have a sort of a limited understanding to a larger degree is economics and geography. Economics and geography. And this was some years ago. It was a commercial. And they would show the man going up the steps. And say, Mr. So-and-so, what is your EQ? And he would say, EQ? What do you mean? What is your economics quotient? In other words, how well do you understand the economy of America? He didn't understand. See, you can have a job and make money and not understand the economy that's producing the company, that's producing the job, that's paying you your money. That means the company can be going out of business and you don't have a clue. And it's right in your face that they're going out of business. And if you want to know, ask the guy who's the salesman for them. So how's the sales going? Not good. That company here is not a business. They're not going to tell you. They'll tell you when they're ready to let you go. And they want control of that process. But if you're smart, you'll go before they tell you. Well, you can go to another company. I'm not telling you to quit your job. I'm just simply saying how to know how to determine when your company is going to go out of business so you can leave at least a month ahead of time and find you another job where you're not there looking for a job because your company went out of business. That means you're desperate now. But that's another story altogether. That's probably too late for some people. Amen. God probably told you to transfer, get in another industry. Now, if I was in the cotton picking industry, I'd want to get out of that quick. The working conditions wasn't too good in cotton picking. But let me go back. So here, in the time we're living in, so economics and geography. In geography, people don't know where stuff at. That means they don't know. They don't know where, everybody don't know where Texas is on the map. Or they don't know where Utah is on the map, or Portland, Oregon is on the map. Or where Beirut, Lebanon is. You see that big explosion they had in Lebanon? You know where Lebanon is? You know where Lebanon is? It's there by Israel. Amen. And so it's very corrupt. The city is very corrupt. And that's where they had all these explosives there. Nobody made a decision that y'all need to move this stuff because they were so busy corrupt. They had no order. No order going on. Nobody following orders. And they let that stuff sit there until it got ignited and blew all those people up. Our president said it was under attack. I said, he must know something. But he was just guessing. It looked like an attack, actually, but it wasn't explosive. Of these chemicals you make fertilizer with, they're highly explosive. But let's go back. Can you say amen? So here again, I'm watching the time. I'm going to move forward. So there were these two sons. And so in any case, with the economics, what happened was when President Reagan he came into office, since he became the law and order president, he convinced the Republicans to leave, not become Democrats and become Republicans. Okay, now you have people who were Democrats at that time who were the segregationists. They were the segregationists in Washington. Amen. Now they became Republicans because they wanted law and order. Who doesn't want law and order? That's good. You don't want no crime in your neighborhood. Nobody wants that. Whether you're black or white or whatever, you don't want crime in your neighborhood. So he came in order and he funded the war on drugs and the war on crime. Meaning he's getting ready to give police a lot of money. Right now, I don't think people here know the average of how much policemen make. Many policemen make six figures. 100,000 plus. Yes, that army is well paid. So when you begin to hear the people talk about defunding the police, they wasn't mean getting rid of them. They mean was we need to pay them less money than we pay them. All right, now you got to look at motivation. If you're paying me $100, I'm going to do my job, or I'm going to do a good job of looking like I'm doing my job. Yeah, money motivates. I said, if you pay me $100,000, y'all pay me more than that, I'm going to look. I just threw that in there. We do. Come on, come back. I'll come back to that later. I'm going to do a great job, or I'm going to look like I'm doing a good job with that kind of income. You know, when you go through the traffic and the guy sitting there at the traffic to make sure you stay in the right lane and don't hit the cones and stuff, he's at about $25 an hour off duty on that. People actually don't know how much police departments make. They don't really know what the budget is of the police department in their city. That army is very well paid. So is our military army. I got to get on off of that. All right, so, well, the police, who the police policing? Who the police policing? And so many people have mixed emotions about that. Man, defund the police. Well, up in Minnesota where George Floyd was killed, and said, well, let's defund the police. And they voted to defund them because they began to look at the track record. So folks don't know the track record of the police. They don't know how to evaluate the police. Well, Barack Obama and his attorney general at the time, they began the inspection when they went into that city out by St. Louis. What was that city called? Where Brother Brown was killed, the guy was killed. Ferguson, Missouri. So they went in and did an evaluation on the police department of Ferguson, Missouri. They hadn't hired a black policeman in so many years. The way they did things, it was sucking money out of the community and they showed who they're locking up the most. But here again, There are many cities like Jacksonville have never had that done. Matter of fact, I asked them, did they do that? They said, no, we have an internal review that can do it. I said, oh, no, excuse me, you telling me y'all can check yourself? They said, yes, we do a very good job. I said, I don't believe that. That's not possible. Y'all know each other too well. Y'all making too much money, and y'all not going to tell on each other. Yeah, that was the one of the meetings. But let me go. That's something else altogether. See, it's questions that you ask. Amen. Who's policing the police? Amen. Many people don't. The statistics are out there of knowing. Matter of fact, the thing came out, stop and frisk in New York City. They had stop and frisk. They're going to stop you on the street. You know, people walk in New York. You know, it's too many people be driving cars. I'm talking about New York City. Not Albany, not Buffalo, not Rochester, New York City. Amen. Them other cities like Rochester, Buffalo, them regular cities. New York City is not a regular city. There's multi-millions of people in New York City. And so a lot of them are from all over the world, and a whole lot of black people in New York. And the cops stopping, they just stop you at random. What's in your pocket? Take your pocket out. Give me your ID. Stop and frisk. So, anyway, that was a big issue as well. So here, what does that have to do with the two sons? Because, see, this is about the two sons. I'm going to talk about the two sons. See, it is, like the president said about the virus, it is what it is. Yeah, that's what he said. 160,000 people dead that shouldn't be dead, and it is what it is. Oh, you real cool. It is what it is, huh? No national law to stop this. It is what it is. That's your best answer. Well, saints, let me tell you. Got news for you. It is what it is. That means this is the reality of what we're living with. And voting has consequences. Voting or not voting has consequences. And so here, that's not about the two sons. Let me get back to the two sons. So here, when I say geography, the guy said what his economics quotient was, and the geography, when people don't know what things are, it's hard to put in context what's going on if you don't know where they're located, because each location has a different, it has a different profile of who's there, what they do, are you following me, and how they do it. Like you have somebody say, where the most black people in America? They're on the East Coast. They're up and down this East Coast. In record numbers. Amen. And so in any case, so that has to do with certain things politically and where you are and all that kind of stuff. So with the numbers, when Reagan, he funded the criminal justice system, where he began to send into these criminal justice systems in different states, millions of dollars. $800 million to this state. Because what he was doing, he's keeping his promises to the people that used to be Democrats that now have become Republicans to send money in their states to make their police departments stronger. So they won't have the problem of the black people killing and raping them and stealing all this stuff. Come on, Pastor. No, you come on. This is how he came into office. And so then in each of the other presidents, they want to do what the other one, all the presidents want to be tough on crime, which translates to being tough on black people. See, when you realize you're the low-hanging fruit, you look at all this stuff different. You're like, hey, wait a minute, y'all need to explain this to me, because y'all ain't stopping nobody but us. Nowadays, so we got these cameras. So the cops got cameras, the people got cameras, the kids got cameras, everybody got cameras. So all of a sudden, we're seeing stuff we never realized existed, as if they were going to tell on themselves. You know, we looked on our camera. We saw this officer really did something wrong. Oh, no, no, y'all killing people left and right. And we have our own film. We had our own George Floyd video. Folk had George Floyd from every angle you could think, to where they could, before it even got downtown, they could tell you how long the man had his knee on the man's neck. It was 8 minutes and so many seconds. Then they come and say, nope, it was 9 minutes. Actually, he went past the 8 minute amount to 9 minutes. That bothers some real, there's some real good people in America. There's some good people in America that say, look at this. But that never would have made it, that never would have surfaced had the general public not been able to make their own film. Man, I had the sheriff tell me, he told us in a meeting, he said, well, it might take us about 3 or 4 weeks to get the film back. I said, not anymore. People got their own film. See, you got to doctor up the film because you got to protect, make sure the union in agreement with you releasing the film, that you release the film, you subject to too many forces that are not in favor of the people. So anyway, yeah, I think you know the story about what's happening with criminal justice in America. And see, right now, I'm in Jacksonville. We're in the Deep South. We're in the Deep South. We're in the Confederacy. This is the Confederacy. Don't fool yourself. This is the Confederacy. It has the spirit of Confederates. If you've been here any amount of time, you know it. But we're in a new day. We think things are about changing. Amen. Amen. The vice president of the Confederacy was right there in Savannah. And he was one to determine that black people not equal to white people. God made that way. Now, I don't know what you got to know being a black man to figure out that that's not going to work well for you. Or if that don't bother you, you need to check your identity. Somebody tell you you're not equal as a human being and make it a part of their founding documents of the Confederacy and it's about you? And you go for them, you got a problem. You confused. But that's not about the two sons. That's not about the two sons. Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to get there in a minute. I used to wonder about the story with Harriet Tubman. You know, she's the woman that with the Underground Railroad. And they say Harriet Tubman, her mind was made up that anybody wanted to go back, she would kill them. It's always somebody want to do something unusual to please the oppressor. You're trying to be a good enough Negro to please the oppressor, the one who's keeping you in the bondage you're in. If they're oppressor, their mind is already made up to be an oppressor, okay? Your being friendly is not going to change that. So they get out. She say, can't nobody go back because y'all know the route already. He said, it's either you go, we going on north or you going to die. She had to have her mind made up. She's talking about freedom. Freedom. She said, this is more precious than life itself. You go back. You don't have to go back because they're going to kill you anyway because you escaped. You escaped and got where you were and came back. We're going to kill you anyway because you might be the one helping to get the other ones to escape. We don't trust you. Oppressors don't trust, what they call the one that tell? The one that tell the slave master who was escaped. They don't trust you anyway. They're going to kill you anyway because they don't trust you. But let me go on and let me get to the two sons. So in America, I mean, this is a marvel what we're looking at right now.
Hello, this is Pastor Thomas. That's all the time we have for today's message. I'd like to personally invite you to come out to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. We're in our new location at 159 Clark Road, right off of North Main Street, just past the Hexer Drive overpass. Thanks for listening, and join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us for The Air Church, the live worship service from The Air Church, 159 Clark Road on Jacksonville's north side, just north of the Trout River Bridge. Join us again next Sunday morning at our new location in the sanctuary at 10 a.m. or join us at 6 p.m. next Sunday for the worship service of The Air Church here on Praise 107.9. For more information, go to www.airchurch.com. theairchurch.org. That's the H-E-I-R church.org.